Birshus, the esteemed Mara Diasra, and thank you, Dr. Maybrick, for inviting me. I was here around 6 weeks ago, so I hope I don't overextend my welcome. The topic tonight is a very, very broad topic, and I wish I knew the answer to the question that I pose, and that is how to maintain the vitality of spirituality and ruchnius in everyday life. You know, these parshias that we're reading, Parshas Shavuvim, starting from Parshas Shmos, are very, very significant, because these are the parshias of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the parshias of Matan Torah, and in particular, when one is Ma'ayan in the Sifrei Chassidus, one understands that Yetzias Mitzrayim is not simply a historical accounting of the slavery in Egypt, but rather in every single person and in every single generation, there is a Mitzrayim. When the Haggadah says, Chayav Adam Liros Asatzmai, Ki'ilu Hu Yatzam Mi Mitzrayim, a person has to look at themselves as if they were taken out of Egypt. That is because everyone has their own Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim could be gaiva, could be egotism, could be materialism, could be arrogance, could be selfishness, could be laziness, could be depression. All of us have a Mitzrayim, something that enslaves us. And as to paraphrase an old commercial, it is sometimes easier to take the Jew out of Mitzrayim than it is to take Mitzrayim out of the Jew. One can live indeed a life of affluence and comfort and material prosperity and very much be enslaved. An actor, I don't want to quote the name, but an actor once remarked, and amazing, this was an actor who wears gold chains, etc., and he once remarked upon himself, and I think it was unintentionally profound, but a very profound remark. He was once asked why he wears gold chains. And his answer was, he wants to imitate his ancestors who came to this country in chains, and he wears chains too, except his chains are gold, and they were iron. An amazing remark, a profound remark, and a true remark. Because what this person recognized, perhaps subconsciously, is that one can be enslaved to the success ethic of America and to the decadence of our culture, just as one could be a slave with a whip, with somebody with a taskmaster standing over him with a whip. So when we look at these parshiyos of Shavuvim Tat, Shavuvim in particular, and we're looking at Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're also looking at the ways and the eifanim that we can try to extricate ourselves from whatever it is that enslaves us, from whatever it is that is our own personal Mitzrayim. And in particular, the first part of my remarks, I'd like to share with you a machshava from Rav Tzadok HaKohen, in which he talks about the four parshiyos. You know, this Shabbos, we're going to have Shabbos Mevarchen, Rosh Chodesh Adar, so we're going to be beginning the four special parshiyos, Shkolim, Zohar, Parah, and Chodesh, leading up to Pesach, and he views the four parshiyos as a hachana for the Zman Cheruseinu, which is the real liberation that a human being can achieve, but not just the Cherus HaGuf, but the Cherus HaNefesh. Particularly for women, we know that often Pesach is not always seen as a Zman Cheruseinu. Sometimes it's seen as quite an enslaving time, and indeed we have to be very, very makar tov for all the work that is involved. But one must remember that predominantly Pesach is a time of spiritual liberation, which leads in turn to Matan Torah. And let me take it one by one. We talk about, Pirkei Avos says, that there are three averos that are motzi es ha'adam in ha'aylam. Shtei kina, jealousy, envy, taiva, lust, and kavod, the desire for honor. Maitzian es ha'adam in ha'aylam, they take a person out of the world. And the Mefarshim point out, it doesn't just mean olam haba, that's obvious you can lose olam haba, but it means even your life in olam hazeh is going to be very, very miserable when a person is consumed by the forces of kina, taiva, and kavod. In fact, I remember reading the Alter Slobodka, I think the Alter Slobodka once told a bachur in Slobodka, who is becoming an apikiris, he says, I know you don't care about olam haba because you don't see it, but why do you want to throw away the olam hazeh? Olam hazeh you have when you leave that world and embrace kina, taiva, and kavod. And the Mefarshim say that kina, taiva, and kavod in their extreme manifestations lead to avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shvichas davim. The way it works is kina, jealousy, animosity, hatred, polarization. In the extreme case, going back to Kayin v'Hevel, it leads to shvichas davim. Taiva, of course, can lead in its extreme manifestation to adultery, gilui arayos, as we see, and unfortunately, in the highest levels of government, even today. Kavod. Kavod is when a human being says to himself that I will be the supreme arbiter of what is right and wrong. That's a merida against the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, which are extreme deviations in terms of behavior, their ultimate root is in the midos of Kina, Taiva, the Kotet. And Rav Tzedek sets up an explanation of the Dalet Parshiyos, where Parsha Shkalim works to be Mesakein the Mida of Kina, and Parshas Zachor works to be Mesakein the Mida of Taiva, and Parshas Parah works to be Mesakein the Mida of Kavod. And then one is ready for Chaydesh, which is his Chadshus and renewal, leading to Chag HaPesach. So that's kind of the basic structure of Rav Tzedek's point. And Rav Tzedek says, we look, for example, at Kina, we look at the notion of jealousy, we look at other people, and we are envious of what they have, and we are consumed with that envy. Kina, the Pasuk in Mishlei, is called Rekev Atzamos, it is a rotting of the bones. That is kina. And Rav Tzedek points out, of all the three midos, kina, taiva, v'kavod, we find that kina is considered to be the worst. It's the avi avos satuma. And the proof of that is, Rav Tzedek says, we find by shiluach tameim, people who are tamei are expelled from various segments of Klal Yisrael. So we find, by yishalchum in amachana, you send out of the machana a tsarua, a leper, a zav, someone suffering of gonorrheal disease, and a tamei meis. A mitzaira gets sent out of all three machanos. A mitzvah is sent out of not only machana shechina, which is the base of mikdash, but also the machana of the Levim, and is even sent by machana Yisrael. That is because the chait of the mitzvah is lashon hara. Why do we speak lashon hara about other people? Primarily because of kina, jealousy. We want to build ourselves up by pulling the other guy down. Therefore, kina is lashon hara, is saras, and where does kina go? Kina has to go chutz l'machana, because kina has no makam in Klal Yisrael. There is nothing constructive. Even though Chazal do indeed say, kina seifrim tarbe chachma, that indeed, literally, the jealousy among scholars of Torah increases their learning. But that is the kina. It's a totally different kina. That is the kina where you want to raise yourself because you admire the good in another. But the kina that says, I want to pull you down to bring you down to my level, which leads to Lashon Hara, that has no makom in Klal Yisrael, and that is why the Mitzayra is irredeemable until he does tshuva. The Mitzayra is Nishtalach Chutz L'Gimel Machanes. But what is Parsha Shkalim? The Torah says, we're going to read it, the Torah says that every single year a Yid has to give a half shekel to the Mishkan or to the Beis HaMikdash, which was used to buy the Korbanos, and the Torah insists, Ha'oshir Lo Yarbeh, if you're rich, you don't give any more. The ha'ani lo yametz, if you're poor, you don't give any less. Everybody gives the same. The two outstanding characteristics of the machzis ha-shekel are, number one, the uniformity of the contribution. Everybody gives the same. And number two, the peculiar fact that it's based in terms of a half instead of a whole. It would have been more logical, everybody gives a shekel. The Torah says half. And there are two fundamental limudim in the fact that both it's uniform and the fact that it's mechza. Because when we look at the sherish of kina, why are we jealous? Because we look at what other people have and we ask ourselves and we tie on the Ribbono Shel Olam, why do they have this and that and that and that? Why are they smarter than me? You're faster than me? You're stronger than me? You're richer than me? And all the while we look at what other people have, we don't see the treasure that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. We don't see the bracha in what we have, because our eyes are always looking to somebody else, and we don't see the blessings. They tell the story of Chafetz Chaim's Rebbetzin once complained. Apparently, there was a family in Radin where a certain balabas was ill-mannered and a bal lashon hara and a bal machlokes, and yet he was wealthy and he was successful. So the story goes, Chafetz Chaim's second Rebbetzin once complained to him, says, you know, how come we have a person, you know, who creates machlekes and lashon hara, and yet he's so matzliach, and we live in poverty? So the Chafetz Chaim told his Rebbetzin, you're understanding this wrong. Here you have a person that has, you know, no Torah, no Yira. Again, I'm not sure how the Chafetz Chaim said it. There are obviously problems in how you'd express it. He says, so the Eibishter gave him some money. What? If the Eibishter wouldn't give him money, he shouldn't have anything at all in this world. Hashem gave him something. And Baruch Hashem, he gave us much more. So the sherish of kina is when a person looks at their life and they don't see the good in it. And in order to make themselves feel good psychologically, it only lasts for a moment anyway, it really doesn't make you feel better, but you pull other people down. Machzis HaShekel says that every person stands before the Ribono Shel Olam in a state of equality. I might be an ani, I might be poor in money, I might be poor in intelligence, I might be poor in many, many gifts, but if I do the best that I can with the kochos that the Ribono Shel Olam gave me, that is equally beloved to Hashem as the one that is the Oshir. As the Rambam says, now the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, every single individual can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu and be a Rasha like Yeravam ben Nevat. And Rabbi Chanan, many Meforshim asked the Kasha, how is it Shaykh? What does the Rambam mean? Every person can be a Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah itself says, Lo kam Navi kamosha. So Rabbi Chanan says very pashut. He says, we know that Moshe is called Eved Hashem, and the Radak writes in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, why is Moshe called Eved Hashem? This incorporates the halacha of Moshe Kana Eved Kana Rabba. Whatever an Eved acquires belongs to the master. Moshe Rabbeinu was called Eved Hashem because everything that he had was given to the service of Hashem. Rav Elchanan says, when the Rambam says each person can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam Vaday doesn't mean each person can accomplish what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished. That's not Shaykh. But just as Moshe Rabbeinu reached the level of Eved Hashem, that every ability that he had was given to the Ribono Shel Olam, the Rambam says each of us can become an Eved Hashem. You have one person who can learn 40 blot of Gemara a day and only learns 30, and another person can only learn one blot of Gemara over 30 days. But he learns that one blot. With our limited eyes, we might see a person who does 30 blot a day when he could have done 40 as accomplishing wonderful things, as indeed it is a wonderful thing. And yet the Ribono Shel Olam measures us not by our accomplishments, but by the effort and the commitments of what we put in. So that's remez number one in Machzis HaShekel, uniformity. The rich and the poor, in whatever sphere they are rich and poor, are equal to the Ribono Shel Olam, as long as each gives their kochos to him and they live the level of Eved Hashem. And Rav Tzadok says, that's a tikkun for kina. Because what is there to be jealous for? Because whatever I am able to accomplish belongs to me. It's my malchus, it's my kingdom, as Chazal say. Ein malchus negas b'chaverta. A kingdom does not infringe on another person's kingdom. Afilu kimlai neima, even a hair's breadth. That's the first prat of Machzis HaShekel. The second prat of Machzis HaShekel is the fact that it's half. Half, of course, what is notable about half, this is a well-known machshava, is that a half becomes a whole only when it's combined with something else. And that reminds us that in order to have a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, one cannot have it as a yachid. One must be mechaber themselves to the tzibur with Abbas Yisrael, with love for each other, with care for each other. We know that the Churban Beis HaMikdash, this Bayis Sheni, was because of Sinas Chinam. And the Yerushalmi tells us that in every generation in which we don't have the Binyan HaBayis, it's because we have the same Aveira of Sinas Chinam. And the Gemara in Yuma says that the first Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed because of Aveira Zara, Gili Arayas, and Shlichas Damim was a 70-year Golas. But the Golas of Sinas Chinam is still here. But I don't have a kasha while it's still here. The Yerushalmi says while it's still here. Kol dor shalei nivne beis hamikdash biyamav kilo nechrav biyamav. A generation in which the beis hamikdash is not built is as guilty as the generation of the Churban itself. And this too, Machzis HaShekel, is an antidote by reminding us it is only our connection to each other that enables us to have that relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And that is a tikkun for kinnis. You see Rav Tzadok's point. Rav Tzadok's point is that in two separate but interrelated ways, Machzis HaShekel, if one thinks about Machzis HaShekel, Parsha Shkalim, it is a tikkun for the machla of kina. Number one, it reminds each of us that whether we are rich or poor, our contributions are valued equally by Hashem. That's the equality idea of the Machzis HaShekel. And the second prat is the notion that it's only a half which cannot become whole unless we connect to each other. And therefore, this is stage one. And in fact, the emes is, this is the meaning of the Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara and Megillah says, why do we read Parsha Shkalim, Rosh Chodesh Adar, or before Rosh Chodesh Adar? So the Gemara says, Goloi v'yadua l'femisha amar v'haya ha'ilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Haman would give 10,000 shkalim to kill Bnei Yisrael. He gave Achashverosh, Aseres Alafim, not shkalim, kikar kesef. Kikar kesef is a lot more than shkalim, but literally millions of shkalim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiktim shikleinu lishkalav. He wants our shkalim to precede Haman's shkalim. What does that mean? We're dealing with money? Like Haman gives money, so we give Hashem money? What's going on? The answer is pashut. If the Achilles heel of Klal Yisrael is sinas chinam, if the Achilles heel of Klal Yisrael is the jealousy we have for each other, and that gives Haman the kalach to go against us, then what Chazal are teaching us is the lesson of Parsha Shkalim, the lesson of Machtzis HaShekel, is the refuah, is the antidote that can prevent the makkah. That's what the Gemara means. Hikdim shikleinu lishkalav be misbainain in machzus hashekel. And that will prevent Haman and Amalek from having a power and a shlita over Klal Yisrael. That's the hikdim shikleinu lishkalav. And that is how machzus hashekel is misakin kina, which in turn is a defeat of Amalek. We then come to the second stage, the Shabbos before Purim, which is Parsha Zohar, in which we read about Amalek. Zohar is Asher Asalcha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to us. And here, Rav Tzadok says, Amalek is mechuvan. Again, there's the outside Amalek, of course, but internally, Amalek is connected to the notion of taiva. What do we mean by taiva? Taiva is lust, often in sexual matters, but also in materialism as well. Now, taiva, Rav Tzadok says, is a more complicated phenomenon than kinna. Kinna, we could say, is an unmitigated evil. Kinna has no makam in Klal Yisrael. Aber taiva? Taiva, a person has to eat. You know what they say? They say that food addictions are the most difficult of all addictions because it's the only one that you can't go cold turkey on. You know, you could stop smoking, etc. You got to eat. Taiva has a makam. For example, we find in the Gemara in Yuma that at the time of the Bayis Sheni, Ezra and the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah prayed for 3 days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take away the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. And indeed, that Yetzer Hara was taken away to some degree, that we no longer have, as it were, the passion to go and worship an idol. We don't even understand exactly what that Yetzer Hara was. So then the Gemara goes on and said, so they figured, well, we got rid of Avodah Zarah, so let's go meet Ms. Palel to take away the Yetzer of the Arayas, the Yetzer Hara of Arayas, sexual offenses. And they were successful initially, but what happened was people weren't getting married, they weren't having children, chickens were not laying eggs, and they said, we need this koach, we need this desire to exist in the world. So the mele came back, meaning to say, unlike kina, which we could say is a totally destructive attribute, the notion of taiva is something that is necessary on some level, lebinyano shalom. And in fact, we find that if a person takes an attitude towards life, that I'm going to try to separate myself from all of the pleasures of this world, we find, according to some Rishonim, and at least some Ma'amari Chazal, that that's considered to be almost an element of sin. Rashi quotes Rav Lozer ben Yaakov that says, the Nazir is a chayte, because the Nazir is seer atzmei min hayayin, because he deprives himself of wine. Hashem said, you know, you could drink wine. Who are you to be a bigger tzaddik than the Ribono Shel Olam? So by and large, Judaism, as we know, is not based on asceticism and renunciation. There's a Talmud Yushalmi, the Mesil Shesharim goes in this Biarichas. Don't tell your kids, they can use it against you sometimes, but it says that a person will give a din v'cheshbin to the Ribono Shel Olam for every pleasure in the world they could have had beheter and they didn't have. So on one hand, it's the Ratzon Hashem that one should enjoy the world, with the Kavana, of course, to be grateful to the Ribono Shel Olam. But le'idach gisa, at the other side of it, all of us know that if one's mind and one's emotions are enmeshed in materialism and in gashmias, the heart and the mind become blunted and they're no longer sensitive to hear the Ribono Shel Olam's message. You know, people say, How come kids don't read as much as they used to, various things. And the point is that even Lahavdil, I can even use an example that has nothing to do with Tyrid per se. But the concept is, when you live in a society of instant gratification and computer games, things that take a bit more work, a bit more patience, a bit more yagiyah, are no longer exciting and interesting to a person, because we need to be turned on and stimulated by instant feedback. Well, the truth of the matter is, the pleasures of Ruchnius are not quick fixes. The pleasures of Ruchnius are not instant gratifications. They take work, they take time, they take effort, they take yagiyah. Of course, ultimately in life, it is precisely the things that one struggles for that make the most difference in a person's life. But when we live a life of material comforts, over-involvement in gashmias, excessive spending and acquisition, even if we go through the motions of keeping Shabbos and keeping Kashrus and keeping Yom Tov, but it's no longer in our heart and it's no longer in our soul. And that is the kayach of taiva. And Rav Tzedek says, that is connected to Amalek. How is it connected to Amalek? Amalek is described, asher korcha baderech. Korcha literally means they encountered you in the way. But Pidrush, the Sifri Hasidus say, korcha is a lashon. In fact, well, even Rashi says it. But Rashi says it comes from the word kor. It's a medrash. They made you cold, right? When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were like a boiling bath. Everybody was afraid to jump in. Amalek jumped in first. They got burned, but they made it cooler for everybody else. So Rashi himself already identifies korcha means they made you cold. But in the Sifri Hasidus, they take the thought one step further, that it refers to the coldness and lack of enthusiasm that a person has in Avodas Hashem. It's a scary thing. And, you know, again, each person must go through the Din V'Cheshbon themselves. A person can do mitzvahs, a person can read Kriya Shema and daven three times a day, and kashrus and shabbos and tefillin and talmud Torah. And yet, bipnimius, there can be a kriyas halev, a coldness, a detachment. Sometimes, you see, people might be coming to a daf yomi share, and they may be falling asleep or half awake, and then somebody comes in with the Super Bowl score, and all of a sudden, excitement, geschmack, passion. But there wasn't that same geschmack and passion and excitement when it came to the Talmud Torah itself. That's asher korcha baderech. Amalek hits you when you're cold and dispassionate and bored. And if the MSB said, this is a special nisayon for those of us who have been zeicha to be shomer mitzvahs for many years. Sometimes if one is a baal tshuva, if one is new to Yiddishkeit, by definition there's a sense of excitement, a sense of geschmack. But the question becomes, how do you preserve that newness and that excitement and that hislavos if it's the same thing you're doing over and over and over again? This is not new. Yeshayahu HaNavi talks about mitzvahs anashim ilumada. People do mitzvahs out of habits. Rav Tzedek says that's already a part of Amalek, asher korcha. And what is the factor above all that gives a person the coldness of the heart? The taiva, the indulgence in the material aspects of this world. Again, I want to emphasize, we are not preaching asceticism or renunciation. Indeed, the Eibishter wants us to enjoy his world. But if one makes that their primary effort and their primary passion and their primary excitement, there's no makom for the ruchnius to come in. And therefore, Rav Tzedek says, when we read Parshas Zachor and we remember the coldness of the heart that took us over, we remember in our lives to be misaking that koach of taiva. Now, it's interesting. There's a comment from the Vilna Gaon that I once saw, a comment from the Gra. I quoted the Gemara in Yuma that says that Ezra took away, you know, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah took away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. So there's a comment b'shem the Gra that says, what did we get instead? Because there's always has to be, the vacuum has to be filled. In other words, and the Gra says, the Yetzer Hara for money is the same magnitude as the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah once was. As if you want to know what it was like when people wanted to worship an idol, look at the Yetzer Hara people have for money. But I would suggest there's a very deep message in the Gra. And the thing I think about always is a lobotomy, because the Rambam writes in the Mishneh Torah that the original cheshek to Avodah Zarah, originally, Midor Enosh, came from a spiritual place. People had such a reverence for the Ribono Shel Olam that they felt, how could I, a mere baser v'dam, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who am I to go to the Eibishter? And therefore, they made a mistake. Of course, it was a big mistake. Tos gadol. But they made a mistake that we will be mechabed Hashem by worshipping God's subordinate servants. And the Rambam writes, that was the origin of Avodah Zarah, which is an amazing thing. In other words, the origin of Avodah Zarah came from the immense reverence that that Dor Enosh had for the Ribono Shel Olam. It was a mistake. What the Gra is being merames to is that because that immense feeling of reverence led people astray, it was taken away. Meaning, it's not that we're better than they were. They worship Avodah Zarah, we don't. They worshipped Avodah Zarah in part because they had a hasaga of the Ribono Shel Olam that was taken away from us because we would not be able to deal with it. That's why I say it's similar to a lobotomy. Imagine a person, you know, they used to do the lobotomies, they don't do it too much today, but they would literally cut away part of the brain because of seizures. But, as you know, what was tragically often the case is that when the part of the brain is cut away that caused a lot of tsaras, there's some very deep and profound talents that were taken away with that as well. Meaning, the beetle of the Yitzra the Avodah Zarah in effect meant a diminished capacity to perceive the Ribono Shel Olam because it was such a dangerous notion. Meaning, our Yetzirahs are not Ruchnius anymore. Our Yetzirahs are Gashmius. They're safer, they might be less dangerous, but there's also, by definition, less of a potential for godless. So it really is. I think the sight of the Gra here is suggesting this diminished Koach. But be it as it may, Rav Tzadok tells us, Parshas Zachor reminds us of this notion of Taiva. And indeed, this is yet the other Achilles heel of Amalek. Because if we remember, in 2 weeks ago, Parshas B'Shalach, where did Amalek attack the Bnei Yisrael? Amalek attacked the Bnei Yisrael in a place called Rephidim. And Chazal say, what is Rephidim? It's an acronym. Rafu Yedehem Min HaTaira. They were lazy. They were complacent. They didn't have geshmak. Rafu Yedehem, a Rifyan, a weakness, a laziness. That is the shirush. In other words, there are two shirushim of Amalek. Amalek attacks us with sinas, when we have sinas chinam, and that shkalim is a tikkun. And Amalek attacks us when there's coldness of the heart, which comes from taiva. And that is the second Shabbos. That is the meaning of Parshas Zohar. So you see, this is a whole new way of looking at it, that we're not stam reading special Torah parshios, but rather there is a sense of conscious character development. Development of midos, tikkun hamidos, that one goes through as one approaches Pesach. We then come to Parshas Pora, and Parshas Pora, Rav Tzadok says, is mechuvan keneged the idea of kavod. Now kavod is even more ambiguous than taiva. If kina is a totally evil thing, as exemplified by the mitzayra, who is sent out of all three machanas, taiva, yeah, I should mention, taiva is symbolized in the Tomei, it is symbolized by the Zav, and the Zav is sent out of Machane Shechina and Machane Levia, but he's allowed in Machane Yisrael, and that represents the fact that a normal amount of taiva is necessary for normal life. Kavod is different. Kavod is not only a concession to daily life, as taiva is. Right? Kina, totally no good. Taiva, something that you need in a certain moderation for life. Kavod is tricky. Kavod is not only something that is tolerated, but kavod is something that a human being needs. A human being needs, and we talk about anava, it's very true, but a human being needs a sense of their potential, their greatness, their kayach to accomplish in Avodas Hashem. If a person goes around thinking they're nothing, if a person goes around thinking they're worthless, then how will they ever do tshuva? How will they ever grow? How will they ever improve? How will they ever accomplish? That's why the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, a person has to say, Chayav Adam Laimar, a person has to say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'ilam. That is why, one of the reasons the Mishnah says, why Hashem created one human being, Because each person has to say, because of me, the world was created. And it's stated in Talmud of Elio that a Jew has to live with two contradictions at the same time. Anochi afar v'yefer. Indeed, I'm nothing. But bishvili nivra ha'olam. Very, very difficult. But a Yid needs a sense of covet. Because, that, in fact, the Sefer Chassidim, I think the Mezritcher Maggid says, that is the meaning of havu l'Hashem kavod v'yais. That it doesn't only mean, l'fi pshuto, you're giving covet to the Ribbono shel Olam, but you have to have a sense of your kavod, that you're now saying to Hashem, that I recognize that I am capable of doing good things and great things in avodas Hashem. This, of course, anyone that is a parent or a teacher knows how important it is that we convey to our Talmidim and to our children their potential for godliness, their potential for goodness, that one shouldn't feel that they're worthless and they can't accomplish. Because that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. The person, the Chatzke Rebbe says by the Meraglim, famous words, when the Meraglim report to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'niyeh be'einenu k'chagavim, we were in our eyes like grasshoppers, V'chein hayinu le'einehem, and so we were in the Kananim's eyes, Zakta Katzke Rebbe, when you look at yourself as a grasshopper, that is how you will be seen by others. It is because they looked at themselves as grasshoppers, they were seen that way. So, if we ask, you know, kinah is bad, and taiva you try to moderate. But we ask ourselves, kavod. Idea. On one hand, a person needs to have a sense of their goodness and what they can accomplish in the world. But on the other hand, one has to avoid arrogance and gaiva, which of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about the Baal Gaiva, Ein ani v'hu yechaylin lador b'chvifa achas. Tabrister says, this world is not big enough for the Baal Gaiva and the Ribbono shel Olam. How do you strike that balance? So the emissaries, Rav Tzadok says, this might be the meaning of Parshas Parah. Because the emes is like this. The emes is the chait. Why did death come into the world? Death came into the world because of the desire of kavod. What was the Nachash's big selling point? The Nachash tells Adam, Adam, you're a nivra, you're just a creation. And the Eibishter is a creator. V'hayisem kelekim, you can eat from this fruit. You will be like the Ribbono shel Olam Yodei Hatov V'Ra. Eat the magic fruits, and you too will be God. Kavod, the desire for kavod. And death came into the world as a reminder that a human being will never be a Ribbono shel Olam. Death, of course, is the ultimate defeat of our pretensions to godliness. Death reminds us of our mortality, of our fallibility, of our weakness, of our submission. And that is a constructive thing that it reminds us of, because it keeps us humble and obedient to the will of Hashem. The Pasuk says in Kehelis, Tayv lo leches al beis ha'avel mi leches le beis ha'mishteh. It is indeed better to go to the house of the mourner than to go to the house of the party, house of the joyous occasion. Because when we go to the house of the mourner, we are reminded of the fact that we are not God. We are not in charge. We are not the boss. And therefore, we have to make every moment of our life count, because we never know what will be the next day. So death is the onesh, or the tikkun, for the attitude of kavod that Adam HaRishon brought into the world. All the laws of purity and impurity, we know, are designed to remind a person of contact with death. All tumah, Rav Shimshon of Elhurst is magdir, that the Torah has many laws about tumah and taira. All laws of impurity stem from contact with death. The greatest, of course, source of tumah is death. Even the laws of nida, when a woman sheds the lining of the body, that is a death because that represents a pregnancy that did not take place that month. Shechvas zera, a seminal emission, also represents the loss of potential life. Dead animals. Even childbirth represents symbolic death. There's a tumas yoledes because it is the separation of life that was in the womb, and the womb is no longer carrying that life. So all tumah represents contact with death, which in effect reflects the human being's pretensions towards kavod, which Hashem has taken away. So Rav Tzadok says, in this sense, why is Parah Aduma, of course now there's a whole discussion about the various Parah Adumas that they find in Eretz Yisrael sometimes, usually after a few months they discover a white hair, so the Parah Aduma is not valid. We don't know. But be it as it may, Parah Aduma, somebody's a Tamei Nes, so you take the ashes of the Parah Aduma, you mix it with water, and the Kohen throws it on a person and they become Torah. Why does Parah Aduma take off the Tumah of Nes? Very simple. If death and its tumah comes into the world because of kavod, then indeed ashes, which is the ultimate symbol of humility and debasement, ashes, to be humble like Afar Ve'efer, reminds the human being of humility, and when they embrace humility, they are liberated from death and the impurity of death. Parah Aduma is metayer a person, because it allows the person to experience becoming Afer. And the Afer takes away the kavod, and the kavod takes away the connection to death, and therefore the person is reborn and recreated, freed of that taint of death which represents kavod. With this, and again, we can't pretend to be Shlomo HaMelech here. You know, we know that Parah Aduma is considered to be a chok. But what is the chok about Parah Aduma that even Shlomo didn't understand? Well, we know that the chok is that the same force that purifies the tameh, the sprinkling of the Parah Aduma, is metameh, the person that's tohor, the kohen that is mazeh, the mechatas, becomes tameh. What's the remez here? Perhaps the remez is the ambiguity, whether self-debasement or renunciation of kavod is good or bad. Maybe there's a subtle remez here, that sometimes that same modesty and humility, which is so wonderful and so purified and so elevated, when it's taken in the wrong direction, can be self-destructive and make a person tumah. The concept is, there is humility and there is depression. There is a modesty, and then there is the sense of being worthless and no good. It's not the same, but it's very easy for a human being to go from one to the other. And that might be the remez, that the same force that can lead to purity and rebirth and renewal can also lead to destruction. And when we read Parshas Parah, therefore, we are reminded of the need to have the balance in our lives between humility, modesty, and submission, which is good, and steering away from despair and paralysis and depression and worthlessness, which is bad. The balance, as Chazal say, between Bishvili Nivra HaOlam and Anochi Afor V'Efer. That is the Parah Aduma, that is Metayer Es HaTmeim, Metamei Es HaTzahayri. Right? And that is the third parsha. So we have a beautiful pattern. Shkalim is the antidote for jealousy by creating Achdus. Zachor reminds us that the Achilles heel, which allows Amalek to come in, is the coldness of the heart, Asher Korcha. And that is a function of Taiva, being more involved in this world than we should be. And finally, we have Parah, which is the antidote to the She'ifa after Kavod. And the Tumah of death reminds us not to pursue Kavod, but the paradox within Parah Aduma reminds us that a Jew has to have a sense of Vishvili Nivra Olam as well. Now, again, this is something that's very, very close to my heart, because I do see in many, many contexts In fact, many people say that the big chisaron of our generation, at least in the yeshivas and the like, is not so much an excess of gaiva, but it might be the other midah, where people feel very, very tzibrachin. They have yish. They feel that they can't accomplish an avodas Hashem. And that's why the message has to be that people have to be makir their abilities. There's a beautiful Gemara in Bava Metzia and a Seicher at the Pilon, which talks about Rav Elazar Bar Shimon, that at the time of the Roman persecutions, after his father died, he was found and he had been abandoned, etc. And it talks about a certain Maisa Baratana who was frequenting, as a young boy, he was abandoned in the Roman Chorban, he was frequenting Zonas, he was frequenting prostitutes. And they retrieved him and they redeemed him and they decided to make him a Rosh Hashiva. And he said, how can I be a Rosh Hashiva? I mean, I just came from the street, etc. And every day he would try to go back to the street and they would tell him, you can't go back to the street, you're a Rosh Hashiva. And eventually he grew into the confidence that was reposed in him. That's if we communicate, in fact, Rabbi Twersky mentions in his book that his father's greatest rebuke was not hitting him or telling him that he was bad, but saying, Espasnish, you're too good for that. This is not for you. You are better than that. And that's kind of the way of both conveying the discipline and conveying the rebuke, but at the same time, the person realizes the godless that is within. And this is something that I think our children very much need to hear. And this is, I would call, the good covet, right? There's the bad covet, and there's the good covet. And the good covet is when a person realizes that they have kochas, and of course, that covet also is a tikkun for kinah, because there's no makom to be jealous if one realizes the value of their particular chelek in Torah. So this is the progression of shkalim, zachor, and parah. Then, of course, we come to Parshas HaChodesh, and Rav Tzadok simply says, this just reminds us that after a person has eradicated successfully, although I would suspect it would take more than 3 weeks, a person eradicates kina, taiva, and kavod. That's a sur meira. You've gotten rid of the bad. You have to jump in and create renewals of kedusha, new kedusha. There's sur meira, and then there has to be an asei tov. Now, again, this is an interesting point. There are many moments of the year in which we wake up different mornings and we feel very aroused for Avodas Hashem. We feel, I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to make up with that person that I haven't spoken to in 6 months. There are times that you really feel an urge to be masaking that which needs tikkun. But if you don't act on that urge, it dissipates. It goes away very, very quickly. Robert Hutchins, who was the president of the University of Chicago, once remarked about exercise, that whenever he feels the need to exercise, he just lies down and he knows it will go away after a few moments. So he says, you know, he just has to let it go away. Well, the emesis, lahavdil, in Avodas Hashem, there is often this same impulse. There are zmanim of hisayiris. Hisayiris could be yamim neiroim, could be ne'ilah by Yom Kippur, it could be a yamta, could be a Shabbos, could be a weekday mincha. There are times in which the mood hits us. Everyone has times of aliyah. Rahman al-Islam, sometimes it's a time of Eis Tzara. But the question is, if we don't act on it, if we don't concretize it, if we don't take that feeling and do a maisa, you know, the Ramban writes, even the Nevi'im, why in the Sifrei Nevi'im, you always find like the Nevi'im were told to do a maisa, like Yirmiyahu is told, or Yecheskel rather is told to take a stick, etc. Why do you, and the Ramban says, because even a Nevu'ah does not become a reality until some action is done to cement it. This is the derech of the Nevi'im. And Kal V'chaymer, with our various she'ifos, our various desires in the Lichinus. And therefore, Rav Tzadok says, you work on kina, you work on taiva, you work on kavod, that's sur meira. But then you have to take that newfound liberation and create this chadshus. And that leads to Pesach, which is Aman Cheruseinu, new potential. Because when a person is locked up in their kina and their taiva and their kavod, there's no place to go. And when they get rid of those chains, there's a tremendous empowerment. I hate to use a women's liberation word, but I'm not taking it from that context. I just mean to say the koach that opens up to a person to be able to achieve wonderful, siyata d'shmaya and avodas Hashem, when they liberate themselves from the kina, the taiva, and the kavod. And this is really the progression. And again, it's something in the machshava that we think about in these weeks of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The notion of concretizing what we do is, of course, implicit in the whole idea of matzah. All of us know that the nafkamina, Chazal already say, the nafkamina between chametz and matzah is the little difference between the hay and the ches. And indeed, all matzah will become chametz. Mitzvah haba liyatcha, al pach mitzena. Don't let it become chametz. Seize the moment. Take advantage of that moment. Take advantage of that hesairis. And then we know, mitzvah gereris mitzvah, that the kedusha of one mitzvah gives a person chizuk and strength to do more and more mitzvahs, till that which looked impossible all of a sudden becomes possible. And it is a word from the Vilna Gaon. I think this was said at the last Daf Yomi Siyum. I didn't notice it this time. But state in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Lev Chacham Liyaminei, the heart of a Chacham is to his right, and the heart of a fool is to his left. So the Vilna Gaon said, this could be talking about somebody looking at a Gemara. The Chacham gets chizuk and nachas from whatever the Chacham has done. The Chacham learned two blot. The Chacham looks at the two blot and says, "Ah, Baruch Hashem, I've done two blot." And that gives him the strength. Remember, if you're looking at a Daf Gemara, what you've done is to your right. The Ksil, the fool, is always looking at what he didn't do yet. And the Ksil says, "How can I go further? There's so much I didn't do. What's the use?" That leiv chacham liyaminai, leiv ksil is lismala. And that is the idea of his chachis, that things that look impossible to us, we start, we do what we can. And they tell a beautiful mashal, I don't know the source of this, but the story of a king who once said that if you want to, anyone that climbs to the top of this 1,000-story tower gets to marry my daughter. It's a maitza. And most people didn't bother trying. Who could climb up 1,000 stories? It had to be done within a few hours or something. So one person decided he would do it, and he walks up, 10 stories, 20 stories, he's getting tired, he's getting puffy, 25 stories. To the top. He did what he could. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam takes over. But those who don't even do what they could, because Leiv Chacham Liyaminai, Leiv Ksil Lismolo, they never get to that express elevator, because they didn't bother to go as far as they could go. And this is the idea of Hizchadshus in Avodas Hashem. I just want to mention that the MS is, a lot of these points are made in a different context by the Orach Chaim. He has a different way. Rav Tzadok develops these points in the context of the Arba Parshias. But much earlier, the Orach Chaim actually learns out much of them in a pasuk by Matan Torah itself. Very, 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 very beautiful Orach Chaim. The Orach Chaim says on the pasuk, it says, "Vayisu mirfida." The Jews traveled from Mirfida. "Vayavo midbar Sinai." They came to midbar Sinai. "Vayachanu ba midbar." They encamped in the midbar. By Yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Tahor. And the Orach Chaim HaKadosh asks, the whole pasuk is extra. It already says in the preceding pasuk, B'chodesh HaShlishi, the third month, the Tishrei Zol Mitzrayim, B'yom HaZeh, Bo Midbar Sinai. It already says they came to Midbar Sinai. Why do you have to go backwards? V'yisu Mirfidin? So the Orach Chaim says very beautifully, it's Ke'en Rav Tzadok's word, but not in the context of Dalet Parshiyos, that in fact what's going on is the second pasuk is not describing the geographical traveling. The second pasuk is describing the hachanas for Kabbalah Satorah. Vayisu mirfidim. Leave the complacency. Leave the laziness. Embrace the enthusiasm. Vayachanu ba-midbor. What is a midbor? A midbor, we know, is a place of emptiness and desolation. A midbor can be very beautiful. You see the pictures of the southwest United States. But the beauty of the midbor is in its simplicity. Getting rid of the clutter, getting rid of the stuff. And the Orach Chaim says, Vayachanu ba-midbor, or Vayavo midbar Sinai, rather. Vayavo midbar Sinai is a remez to his tafkas b'mu'et, not being overly involved in possessions, which Rav Tzadok called taiva. That's the Vayavo midbar Sinai. The second midbor, Vayachanu ba-midbor, is the aspect of the Midbar being a humble and unpretentious place. That's Anava. That's a tikkun for Kavod. V'yachanu b'Midbar. And Vayichan Sham Yisrael is Achdus. Vayichan, the singular verb, is Ki'ish Echad of Alev Echad. So in that pasuk itself, you have four directives. Embracing enthusiasm and passion in Avodas Hashem. Divesting yourself of over-involvement in things and possessions. Cultivating humility. And achieving unity. This is all Nichlal in that single pasuk of Vayisu. And of course the emes is that the notion of Achdus as being a Tanai in Kabbalah Satayra, it's very, very clear. Jews could not be Makabal the Taira until there was unity among all segments of the Jewish people. Why is that so? On a simple level, the Mefarshim say, very Pashut, the Taira has 613 mitzvahs, 248 positive mitzvahs, 365 negative mitzvahs. It's not shayach for a person to have a total relationship with Hashem except through the Torah. So now we have a very simple problem. There is no individual in the world who could keep 613 mitzvahs totally. Some mitzvahs are only men. Some mitzvahs are only women. Some mitzvahs are kohanim. Some mitzvahs are in Eretz Yisrael. Some are not in Eretz Yisrael. Some are bizman habayis. Some are not bizman habayis. How can I have a connection with Hashem if I don't have a shaychus to the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah? And the answer is, when I am a yachid, indeed, my avodas Hashem is incomplete. But to the extent I create a hischabrus with Kol Yisrael, then the mitzvahs of the women become mine, and the mitzvahs of the men become the women's. And intergenerationally, as it were, the cosmic metaphysical entity of Klal Yisrael, all of the mitzvahs of all of the doros come to Hashem as one undivided whole. So you see, Achdus is not only something that enables me to help other people, but Achdus is necessary for my own avodas Hashem, because otherwise I can't keep the 613 mitzvahs. And the Mishnah Chachma says, there's a Gevaldik Diyuk here. He contrasts two pasukim, a pasuk in Yisrael and a pasuk in Mishpatim. We know the pasuk in Mishpatim is a famous pasuk. It says, V'yano kol ha'am yachtav, it says in Yisrael rather, V'yano kol ha'am yachtav, V'yomer kol asher diber Hashem nasa. It doesn't say nasa in Yisrael. In Yisrael it says, everybody spoke together and they said, kol asher diber Hashem nasa. Whatever Hashem says, we will do. It doesn't say nasa in Yisrael. In Mishpatim, it says Vayanu Kalaam, it just says without Yachta, Vayanu Kalam Vayomru, Kala Sher Diber Hashem, Naase Venishma. The Meshech Chachma is omed on two differences between these psukim. In Yisrael it says Yachta, but only Nasa. In Mishpatim it does not say Yachta, but it says Naase Venishma. Right, the Brisker Rav has a technical reason for it. The Brisker Rav wants to suggest that one parsha of Matan Torah deals with Kabbalah's mitzvahs and one is conversion, a geirus aspect of it. But the Meshech Chachma says the following. Both parshios are addressing this central question. How can a yid in isolation be makabel taryag mitzvahs if it's not shayach for one individual to do taryag mitzvahs? These two parshios are giving us two different answers. One answer is, as we just said, through achdus and unity, the mitzvahs that Reuven does become the mitzvahs of Shimon. That's one teretz. The other teretz is Talmud Torah, that even those mitzvahs which I cannot fulfill by lishmor velasais, I can still fulfill by learning. For example, we don't have korbanos today. So Chazal say, Kala Eisek B'Toras Ola, somebody who learns the Parsha of Korbanos is as if they were Makriv and Ola. Right, this is why the Chafetz Chaim argued that there was a special, or one of the reasons the Chafetz Chaim argued, why there was a special reason to learn Kachim B'Zman Hazeh, because for Kert, when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, this is the only way you could keep the mitzvah. So in other words, we have two separate reasons how an individual can keep mitzvahs. One is, even the mitzvahs I can't do, I fulfill via learning about them. And the other is, through unity and achdus. the mitzvahs of each prat become a mitzvah of the klal. Zakta meshech chachma, that is what those two psukim are doing. In Yisrael it says, Vayanu kolam yachtav. When there is yachtav, when there is achtus, each of us fulfills the mitzvah b'maisa. Because what you do is like I did it. It's like I did it. But Nebuch, what do you do in a generation when you don't have a yachtav? What do you do in a generation when there's sinas chinam, when there's pirat halavavos, when there's no unity not only among religious versus non-religious, which is a separate matter, but even among the religious, even among Shomrei Torah mitzvahs? What do you do in such a generation when there's no yachtav? So you have to come on to the other teretz, Talmud Torah. We learn, and in learning, kala isek b'toras ayla, kilu hikrev ayla. These are the two ramazim, achtus or Talmud Torah. But the truth of the matter is, these are not two mutually exclusive derechim. Because if it's true, as Chazal say, Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom bi'aylam, that it is the derech of Talmud Torah and those who learn Torah to bring shalom into the world, then indeed, if there's no yachtav initially, but there's a commitment to Talmud Torah and to cover Talmidei Chachamim, that itself will bring a yachtav as well, and then we'll do it the other way as well. So it's a gevaldik adiyuk that's why one pasuk says yachtav without a nishma, because then the tayag is achieved by maisa. But when there's no yachtav, we need the Talmud Torah to create my ability to keep the mitzvahs. But that in turn will come to a yachtav eventually anyway, because Talmidei Chachamim are marbim shalom b'ayvam. And again, this is why we find in Purim, which above all represents the victory over the kochos of Amalek, we find that Bnei Yisrael had two responses in Purim. One response was Kabbalas HaTorah, a renewed acceptance of the Torah out of love. Remember the Gemara in Megillah, famous Gemara, that Hashem originally held the mountain, Kafa Aleihem Har Kegigis, He held the mountain over our heads at Har Sinai and said, accept the Torah or else. And Rava says in Maseches Megillah that really we have somewhat of an argument against Hashem. We were forced into it. But we no longer have that argument, because on Purim we were mekabel the Torah out of love. Now the emes is, the Medrash Tanchuma asks, Taisus asks the kasha, but actually it's a Medrash Tanchuma. Interesting, Taisus does not quote the Medrash. How can I say that at the time of Matan Torah the Jews were forced into it? Shteit nasa v'nishma. So the Medrash Tanchuma asks this kasha, and the Medrash Tanchuma says, the Jews willingly accepted the Torah Shebichsav, but they had to be forced into accepting the Torah Shebalpeh. And on Purim, the Kabbalah Satayra Me'ahava, out of love, was the Torah Shebalpeh. That's one response to Purim, a renewed acceptance of the Kayach of Torah Shebalpeh. Talmud Torah, and in particular that part of the Torah which requires work and struggle to overcome the complacency of Rafu Yedayim and HaTorah. The other response to Purim were to have the Inyanim like Shalach Manas and Matanas Le'avyonim, which is Avas Yisrael, love for your friend, to try to be Mashlam Der Chisaret. These are the two Jerachim. These are our only two Jerachim to counter Amalek. We have to be Mesakein, the Rifyan, the weakness, the complacency, the laziness, by rededicating ourselves to Talmud Torah in particular. And we have to overcome the Sinas Chinam and polarization by Matanas Le'avyayim and Mishloach Manas. The Jewish people knew, and Mordechai is a Navi, a Baal Ruach HaKadosh, a Baal Nevuah. Mordechai knew that the Amalek that attacks us from the outside is only a symptom and not a cause. And there must be something inside that needs tikkun and rectification. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael recognized that they have to rededicate themselves to Talmud Torah, and at the same time rededicate themselves to Avas Yisrael, because that was the only possible way we could defeat the Amalek within, and therefore we could defeat the Amalek mibachutz. This is what Purim represents. I just want to end with again a short little maisa. They tell a story of a boy was learning to read in cheder with his rebbe, and when he came to two yuds next to each other, the rebbe said, "This is the Shem Hashem. You got to read the Shem Hashem." So when he came to the end of the pasuk, end of the sentence, also you have one, you know, the typical period in the printed chumash is one yud on top of another. So the kid read it as the Shem Hashem. The rebbe said, no, this is the end of the pasuk. So he says, how come the first time it was Hashem's name, and now it's the end of the pasuk? So the rebbe said, when you have two yidden together, two yuds next to each other, not looking down on each other, not stepping on top of each other, that is where the Shechina lives. The Shechina exists when one yid walks next to a yid. When one yid steps on top of a yid and looks down at the yid, that is the end of the pasuk. The Torah does not go any further than that. The Torah stops. And again, in our generation, it's a very difficult generation because, again, we have a lot of problems. I mean, the conflict we have basically is that, again, as the Rav mentioned, there is so much around us that is Keneged Torah and Keneged Mesira, that if one simply adopts the attitude, I'm okay, you're okay, and all ideas are equally legitimate, then one is indeed engaged in kefira. So one has to stand up for emes, and one has to understand what Das Torah is, and what Mesira is, and Psak Halacha. And one has to have that, otherwise everything is hefka. But at the same time, we have to know that even if ideologies have to be rejected, and even if errors have to be corrected, and even if we have to stand up and articulate what the principles of our Messiah is, but we also have to know the tremendous achrayus we have to reach out and create this karvus, to show people the beauty of the Torah, the beauty of a Shabbos, the beauty of kashrus, the beauty of limud ha-Torah. Because if we simply create our own ghetto and don't care about what happens out there, then chas v'shalom. As the Zohar says, every Sefer Torah has 600,000 letters. Because every Yiddish in the Shem has a letter in the Sefer Torah. And if the Sefer Torah misses any letter, the entire Sefer Torah. Lives. And we have to be convinced of it in our own lives. And we cannot just be mitzvah anashim milumata. But we have to try to recapture that passion and that excitement and that kishmak. And at the heart of it, I don't have 100% formula to give you. If I could, I'd be a very wealthy man. Right now, I could probably market it in some ways. But unless we are zocha to recapture this, we will not be able to communicate it to others. So, Mir Shashem, if it's rubbish up all of us, to try to eradicate the kina, taiva, kavod, to come to his chadshus, to generate a Kabbalah Satira, both through our unity with other Jews and each other, and with our commitment to Limud HaTorah. And again, I do want to thank Dr. Maybrick in particular. The Vad L'Hachzakas HaTorah, I think, tries to accomplish both of these ends, certainly through Talmud Torah, but also through building bridges and bringing people together and creating friendships which are not just social, but friendships that are predicated in ultimate meaning. So, Yashikayach, because you are Mekayim, both Kol Asher Dibir Hashem Nasa, which is the Chibur through Achdus, and Vayano Nasa V'Nishma, which is the Chibur through Talmud Torah. Thank you.
Just on behalf of Vayal HaChizuk HaTorah, I'd like to thank Rabbi Steinberg for his timely and important